Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 165, Cruise to the Taylor's House, part one. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the wonderful folks over at Weaver's Department Store. It's Christmas time, folks. Drop by over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Pick up your Mayberry fans something they're going to love because it's definitely there. Weaversdepartmentstore.com. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by Audible.com. That's right. Audible.com, you can get a free book, 14-day free trial, if you go to audibletrial.com/two chairs. So drop by over there. Get you a free audiobook. You got to love them. I love them. All right. So, hey, folks, I am your host for Two Chairs No Waiting, Alan Newsom, and it is wonderful to be back with you this evening. I've been gone, had to do pre-recordings of episodes for the last several weeks. So tonight we're actually doing a live stream. Got several people in the chat room. Let me see how many we got in there right now. 15. 15 folks in there visiting with one another while I am, chatting around with you and with them. So, folks, if you get a chance, definitely drop by over there. Now, it's a lot of fun. So you can go to live.twochairsnowaiting.com and get to the live stream on Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. We'd love to have you. All right. Well, back in November 12th through the 17th, several folks around Mayberry went on a cruise to Mayberry 6. That's in 2011. And I'll tell you what, we had a great time. It was a wonderful time, fellowship and enjoying one another's company. And I just got to tell you, I had a wonderful, wonderful time, as I always do. I've been on all 6 cruises, and there's going to be a 7th cruise coming up next year. So I definitely want to invite you to go on that with us. It's going to be October 9th through November the 3rd, 2012. And it's going to the Caribbean on Carnival's Destiny. You can go to facebook.com/Mayberry Cruise if you'd like to get some more information or talk to the people that have been, find out if they liked it, look at pictures from past years. It's all there. So drop by over there and you'll enjoy it. I'll put a link in our show notes to that so you'll be able to find it. But we had a wonderful time, and a great part of the cruise was actually we got to visit with Marcia Ann Hudson about a home she was blessed to live in. Now, I'm telling you, this house, if you haven't seen it before, it's the Taylor Home Inn, and it's just a beautiful piece of work. Yeah, you never seen a man work so well with his hands. Yeah, it was just a great place that she was blessed to live in and have been a part of building. And it's just a home that any fan of the Andy Griffith Show would give their eye teeth to have for their very own. Yeah, I know we're not supposed to covet, but I kind of covet it. I don't want to have to move where it is, but I like the house. And I can't even guess how much Barney Fife Realtor would have been able to get from some Mayberry fan to buy a house like this of their own that looks like Andy Taylor's house on the Andy Griffith Show. I mean, exactly like it. Now, this episode is going to be a two-parter, and it's going to be fairly long because the first section is 23 minutes or so long after I quit talking here at the beginning. So it's going to be a fairly long one, and it is the first podcast episode, because this is an audio podcast. I want it to be audio. I have the face for an audio podcast. And this is the first one. I would recommend that you go to twochairsnowaiting.com, and you can right there on the page, there will be a link to, or you can watch it right there, to our YouTube page. Now, our YouTube page has got all kinds of stuff on it from past years and all the past episodes of the podcast. So you can actually watch them there, or you can just go to twochairsnowaiting.com and you'll be able to find them there as well. They're there for you to watch and enjoy. But this is the first episode that I would actually say you really are going to want to go over there and watch it, because this is going to be talking about a lot of things that it would be neat to be able to see at the same time you're hearing it. Now, if you can't do that, there's going to be links, or pictures, I should say, a link in the show notes to pictures on our fan page for Two Chairs No Waiting, the podcast. We have a fan page over there, and you'll be able to go there and look at the pictures as well. They're already there. They're related to Two Chairs No Waiting, number 165, this episode. And they're called Taylor Homey, and there's a lot of pictures there that you'll be able to go and see. But again, I would recommend you might want to watch the video of this podcast. So let me go ahead and start moving us over that direction here. We're going to want to watch these, watch this wonderful, wonderful interview that was done on the Mayberry Cruise and with Marsha Ann Hudson. And man, this is going to be great. So you just sit back and enjoy the music. Now, here it is. This is on the Mayberry Cruise 2011. Okay, so, it's Marsha's presentation, but I want to kind of tell it from somebody's perspective of somebody that went there. And Marsha's going to chime in with her details because it was amazing. Last July, Jan and I were able to head up to the Taylor Home Inn up in Wisconsin, which Marsha and her ex-husband Dave had built and was ran as a bed and breakfast for 6 years. Well, this place is amazing. As we're driving up, as you can see, this looks like Andy's house. It's not kind of like Andy's house. It looks like Andy's house when you're driving up. And you drive up there in the front yard, and the Mayberry experience starts right then. Because you start, I don't know how many of you people have been to Mount Airy and been there. There's that feeling you get about being in Mayberry. I would say that going to the Taylor Home Inn was even a stronger experience because as you went there, you're walking up here on the front porch. But let me just show you, I've got a little video I can play of what it looked like actually walking up onto this front porch. Let's make sure it's full screen. There we go. This is actually, you walk up onto that scene that you have seen on the Andy Griffith Show so many times. You walk up there and Marsha, they've got the Andy Griffith Show theme song playing as you're walking up. You can hear the music play. You walk up and you expect to see Andy and Opie and Barney and everybody just sitting out on the front porch right there with us. And it was just an amazing experience getting there because all the furniture, everything, the scenery, it was a sight to behold. Now, that was just the outside. I hadn't even got inside the place yet. I was already excited about just seeing the outside and being part of the experience there. And I walked in that front door, and this is what I saw. And this is, from where this picture's taken, it's about where I just stopped dead in my tracks, too, because look at that. That looks like we're on the set of the Andy Griffith Show itself. And that was the look on my face about for the first 10 or 15 minutes I was there. I just stood there and wouldn't walk on in because it was just an amazing thing to see. Because you can see, it almost had, I ought to have velvet rope roping the place off because there's the china cabinet, there's the fireplace. And tell a little bit about that.
Well, we do have to have people, I do have to encourage them to come on in because they do seem to feel like they're only supposed to see it, not be part of it and experience it. And Alan wasn't the only one that just stood there and looked at it. We've had people that they just stand there, and we have a little wood floor entryway, and they won't step off of that and on into the carpet because they're coming into Mayberry where they've never been before. We've all been there in our hearts, but we've never been in that room. And it's fun to watch everybody's reaction to it. When they come in, it's as exciting for us as it is for everybody else.
And you can see here, this is just some video we shot of it. Just the entire room, it's amazing, the fireplace. We'll talk about that as we go here. But here's Marsha's actually, she had photographs, you see me holding there, from, I believe, the guitar player?
Yes. Jim Lindsay?
Yeah,
Jim Lindsay. The second time that Jim Lindsay came to Mayberry, they sit on the hearth and they play the music, and so we have that picture from that first season so that people can compare the fireplace to the way it looked on the show.
Let's go back to that real quick, but you can and you can just see the silly grin on my face right there. But when you compare that picture to the fireplace, it's amazing. And you see over there in the distance, you've got Aunt B's, the dining area, the hutch there. And as we go there, if you look right up there in the top
right corner of that hutch, you see a little thing sticking out of there. Reckon what that might be. What should be up there? That's exactly right. Andy's pistol's up there. The amazing thing, too, is when you walked into that room, you knew where everything in there was. It was. You've watched it on the Andy Griffith Show. You've experienced it. You've seen it so many times. You know, that gun was up there was just, there were just those little bitty tidbits that were you guys had captured that were just amazing.
We've had people that would come in and they'd check. You know, the real fans versus the occasional fans when they look to see if the gun's there and they know why there's a ceramic pelican on our mantle. If you don't know why there's a ceramic pelican on our mantle, I'll tell you, and then you can be one of those that know everything about the show.
And we'll be able to see that in a second. Now, Marcia also had, this is in the dining area. It's, let's see if I can go back here. Let's go back a couple. It's right there behind where Andy would have sat. You know, it's right there on the left there, right behind
where Andy. Barney.
I mean Barney. Yeah, Barney. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I'm getting excited now. But this picture, you know, I saw it and I was like, "How did you figure it out?" Because she had a still image from the show that they had captured. That when you look at this photograph that she had, these are just, see the dark areas and stuff on this. That's all you could really make out. But you were able to figure. Tell about that.
Well, we knew that. The occasional fans wouldn't know if we had it exactly right, but the true fans would know down to the pictures on the wall. So for about 4 years, I kept looking for a picture based on one of the pictures out of Jim Clark and Ken Beck's books. We were doing this at the time that it was VHS and not DVD, so you couldn't really get a good freeze frame. So all I could look at was just to see the little dark places and the light places, and it looked like something round in the middle, and it looked like snow, but that was all you could see. And I kept thinking, it looks like, well, the way I equated it was, it looks like something from a jigsaw puzzle. So it had to be a Charles Wysocki or Grandma Moses or one of those, the early primitive artists. So I kept looking for Grandma Moses pictures and could never find the right one. After 4 years, I finally found online, through a search of Grandma Moses, that picture. So I held up my book to the picture that I had on the computer, and all the dark and light places were in the right spot. So then I knew what the name of it was called, and if you want to know, it's called Sugaring Off Again. Grandma Moses did about 30 different Sugaring Off pictures that she named that. So when I do a search, it took a while, but I found it on eBay and ordered it, and it was the right one. So it was one of the, what we call the Mayberry Holy Grail problems that we were able to solve.
And it was really just amazing. And again, going through the house, the details that the Andy Griffith Show fan would pick up on were amazing. And they had the photographs to prove it, really. I mean, they were right there, so you could actually pick up the photograph from the show and look at the real room, and it was just amazing. So there's the whole layout of the room. You can see the rock fireplace sells the whole room, really. But then, it's not just the fireplace. Look at all the other details. Look at they got the couch, the little table where Gomer, at one point, was sitting there watching TV with Andy and them, had his legs stuck all the way under the table. You know, he's sitting on one end with his legs out straight in front of him. There's the table. This the chair that's in the near ground here, the dark leather chair. It's where Andy was reading, it was the witching time of night. You know, reading that to Opie when the ladies kept coming in. Amazing. It was just amazing. And there's the rock. That big rock in the middle of the fireplace was the real cellar. And how did you get that rock? How did you do this?
Well, this was one of those situations where, again, we knew that the real truth, the people who really truly studied the house before they came, and a lot of them did when they knew they were coming, would know if we had it right or not. So we went to, we made a big cardboard template of the rock that you see, what I call the Chevrolet symbol. We took it to one of the places that do the created stone. And they, of course, when they know that you need something for a special project, the price goes up exponentially. They told us that, yes, but for between $3,500 and $4,000, they would make us a rock. And that didn't include delivery and installation. We said, thank you, but no thank you. One of the fellows that worked for the company said, I'm going to show you how to do it. So my husband at the time and I built a big cake pan, basically, out of plywood and metal flashing. We used plaster Paris to do the striations that were in the rock. And then I didn't have anything to do with that. He poured the cement with reinforcement in it, And for $45, we made our rock. So we said, our thank you. our saying is, only God can make a tree, but we make rocks.
Now you made the rock out of concrete or something?
It's
like
out
that?
Of cement,
but,
yes.
But then you painted it.
Yes.
That's the thing. She's the one who painted the rock to make it look like, you see how the bottom looks like the fireplace has been burning. It's kind of gotten a little bit of soot or something on there.
And well, we looked again at the color pictures, and we just had a flat gray piece of cement up there that didn't even have the wall around it yet at that point when we did the rock. We did it first. So I got out my paints. I do decorative painting, and I painted and sanded and painted and sanded and until I finally got it to where it looked like it was, the color went deep enough. Then I painted the soot on there and sealed it. So if you were to examine it closely, hopefully you wouldn't be able to tell that it's not really a rock.
You can't. I can. When you walk up, you want to rub it, you know, because you walk up to it. Anyway, there's just another detail. You can see right here the pelican sitting on the,
yeah,
sitting on the mantle.
And if I can say one other thing, when we were building the fireplace, you know, everything is, well, even building the house, how to determine what size everything is. How do you know what size the living room was? Well, if you watch different episodes, it changes based on how much of the space they needed to show for the show. For that episode, but what my ex-husband did was he's a little over 6 feet tall, and he figured Andy was too, so he'd watch Andy walk from one place to another, figured that it took about a 3 foot stride for somebody over 6 feet tall, so if he took four steps, that was 12 feet. So that's how we knew to get the approximate size for the room itself. And then he also built kind of a little to scale foam core model house with a little Andy in it, and he figured, okay, if Andy was laying down, standing there like Alan is, if he's laying down, there'd be about two of him for the fireplace mantelpiece. So that's how we kind of determined how big everything should be.
Cool. Now the other thing we'll talk about as we show some more pictures. But the other thing, the house, this is a real house.
Yes.
And the one on the show obviously was not real. So you know, on the front porch when you came up and it was kind of dipped in and then stuck back out and over. Well. For the house to have actually been shaped that way, the kitchen would have been, what, 3 feet wide?
Yeah, it would have been cut in half. It would have been a closet.
So they had to adjust some things. But this, you remember on Luke Comstock when he was coming by and Andy picked up the phone and answered it? There it is right there.
And it does work.
And the phone worked, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and there's the heading upstairs and the doors, the French doors there. Now, the French doors actually go back to where y'all lived.
Right. The first season had French doors, and after that it was a window. We tried to figure out where we could have our, it's not a separate living quarters, it was just a bedroom, and also comply with the state of Wisconsin for bed and breakfast rules. And so we had to have a separate bedroom area from the guests. So we left the French doors from the first season because we said it's easier to walk through a door than it is climb through a window to get to our bedroom. So that's how we did that.
Right. And then this is heading back. This is back toward the front door of the TV. We're going, and then we're watching Shep, I think, who is watching on TV. Yeah, and there it is. And this is just another angle from over toward the piano, which obviously there's a piano on this wall. It has to be, doesn't there? Looking there and seeing the Goober's hat there. And you see into the kitchen. So let's go in there and look around. Now, this is their kitchen. Now, the kitchen changed throughout the seasons. So you did the best you could to make it consistent.
Right. We had, again, the situation where, if you remember the dining room area, the window that was always over Aunt B's shoulder, if that was an exterior wall, for that to have run the length of the house and not have any, if you watched them drive up, it was a straight wall, that side wall was along the driveway. For that to have happened, again, the kitchen would have got cut in half the other way. So what we did was we pushed the wall out and put a laundry room, so we had to have a door that goes to our laundry room. Beyond that, and having a new refrigerator and a newer telephone, we had it pretty accurate. But of course, in the color season, they had the door where our pocket door is there, the one that's painted blue. So we just tell everybody we have the black and white season door and the color season season's door.
So, and this is a shot we didn't see ever on the show, really. You never saw the entire wall over there where the stove is. You'd see Aunt B cooking over there. You'd see it from the other side of the wall looking towards you. but you didn't really see that. And again, on the table here, she had photographs or screen captures from the show, so you could actually see how close this was. Up to the point of even like the, over here, I think the next picture may be this. Well, no, there's. But, oh, you had this hutch built.
We had the hutch built, very, very quick story about that is we had an Amish woodworker in southern Minnesota make it. We just took pictures from the show, and we also had a video and had that along to show him so he could get an idea of exactly the dimensions. Then we realized if he's Amish, he's not going to be watching television. So we had to just resort to just taking pictures to show him the dimensions of what we wanted, and then he built it and we stained it so it would look like it did on the show.
Now, the one disappointment I did have about the kitchen, there was no crack in the ceiling.
No, we painted over it so you can't see it.
The Sims didn't notice. Now, on the countertop here, you can see these were exactly, she had a screen catcher right there. You could look at those canisters are metal canisters. And they're exactly like the ones that they had on the show. I mean, the detail that you guys went into are just amazing. You got the toaster there on the left, and those canisters.
Canisters had the yellow lids. They had some that had red lids that they manufactured, but the yellow lids are what were on the show. So that's
amazing.
What we did. And we also have, I don't know if you can see, the tea towel up there says, some days it says 1960, some days it says 1961, some days it's 1967.
Yeah, this little towel has those on there. So, I mean, the amount of detail were amazing. Of course, there's heading back out into the dining area. And, Floyd was hiding behind the door of the refrigerator there trying to see in. But we'll head back in there. Now, there's looking back over toward the front door. And there you can see where you made the entrance. And that's where she was talking about people would stick right there on that wood and not
right.
Walk on in. And there's the closet where Barney was... always, he hung himself, or opening himself.
They called her, yeah.
Now, what they did was very clever because they needed an office. That's actually an office, and it's stairs that go down into the downstairs area.
Yeah, right.
So instead of being actually just a closet, they actually made it useful. And when you go downstairs, this is what you find. The Mayberry Courthouse is down in their basement, and you can go down there. And again, of course, I'm like a... It's like Christmas when I was there. It's like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe this because of the details. Look at there on the table. You see this right here? Yeah.
All right, Lefty. You and me's busting out.
Yeah, you and me's busting out tonight. That was the thing you hang on the wall in the cell. They got the gavel. There's the gavel and the phone. And there's Jan getting her hair cut by Floyd. And but you can just see all the details. Got the little fan. They got the map. Now this map's a good story. This map, everybody's always trying to figure out what this map was. Well, they're actually the ones that figured out exactly what the map behind the courthouse really was. So
when we were building the house, everything was on VHS, so didn't get a good look at the map. You saw we all know that they used at least three different maps. And what one was North Carolina, one was Idaho, upside down, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And then the other, they settled in about the third season. So what we did when the show came out on DVD, which was the year that we officially opened, they had, we got thinking about what episode shows that map really well, and it was the episode with the Miracle Salve. And Barney's walking back and forth doing his lawyer letter. That he's dictating to Opie, so we put it on the computer and freeze-framed it when Barney was to the left and then when he was to the right, so we could see both sides of the map. And then Dave sat down with an atlas. We had the curved piece that you see in that map. We didn't know if it was a road, if this was a park, if this was a county, what it was. When we sat down and started looking through the atlas page by page, we discovered that was the Ohio River. And it said river, but it didn't say Ohio. So then, we knew it was a river. So then we sat down and started going through it page by page and figured out that it's Cincinnati pre-interstate. So then we went online and found a map of Cincinnati before they built the interstates and got one that had the same legend and all of the same writing in the same places that they used. So that's how we did that. Now, it wasn't colored in green, so... having attention to detail, we sat down with six green pencils and tried to figure out which one was exactly the right color green.
Oh, you colored it.
We colored it in. Yeah.
Well, I noticed as I was looking at it, there's actually a place in Cincinnati called Mount Airy. I just thought that was interesting, so I zoomed in on that. So, I mean, that was a big find for you guys, finding out what the thing, the actually map was. So now it's hanging there. Of course, here's over at Barney's area of the courthouse, and y'all had the two little tables made.
We found the chair, and we found the Motorola radio and the microphone, different places, the gooseneck lamp and all that, but we couldn't find the right table, so we just had a carpenter make them for us so that they would look like they did on the show.
And it was just an amazing thing to see. Now, even all the way there, you know, I can almost see Floyd sitting here in the chairs talking to Andy. But you look over there on the wall, right. Let's see, actually, right here. They went into detail. They got that's the Pledge of Allegiance, I believe, isn't it? On the wall, which is, if you watch the episode, you're gonna see it. It's there. Now this is back around toward the cubbyhole, or where you go back into the back room.
Barney's back room.
You know, where the bulletin board is. The bulletin board will be on the wall just to the right. Well, this is the you know where it is. You guys have seen this. So they got the, what are these?
Barrister bookcases.
Uh-huh. Barrister bookcase. And you figured out what this was, which is a president's.
It's a presidential chart. If you want to try to find one, it's a Woman's Day from the Eisenhower inauguration. Again, it was one of those things where nobody knew what it was exactly. We all felt like it was a presidential timeline of some sort. Well, I happened to pick up an old Woman's Day magazine for the bed and breakfast because all of our magazines are 1961 and before, pretty much. A few of them a little more recent. But I found a Woman's Day magazine, and in it was the ad for this poster. So that's how I figured out exactly what it was, and I knew what to search for. And it turns out that Woman's Day magazine would put out a new poster every time, or double page chart, every time there was a new president inaugurated. So we could find finally the one that was the right one, because they each had a little bit of a change in the way they were printed. Now they were made. So when we figured out that it was the one with Eisenhower, which made sense, then we found it in online and good old eBay, and then got it framed.
Amazing. Now, also on that cabinet was this. Now, we saw this episode Sunday morning where Barney kept spraying the throat spray in his mouth, the honey and water. Well, they even had that sitting on the top. I mean, it was amazing stuff. So there's me studying the old bulletin board there. And there's the back room where Barney would sleep, you know, just back there. And Floyd dropped by again. So let's hear from Floyd here. Let's see if we can unmute this. We'll play it. Whoops, back.
While he's getting it, real quick, I'll say, if you're seeing these plastery edges, that's on his presentation, not on the walls that you see down there.
Hey, it's local barber captures escape convict. yeah, that's me. You know, we're up in the cabin, up in O'Malley's. Yeah, you know, I told Andy, if you come up there, it's goodbye Al. Because Al, he dances with Sally. I got a shouting up there, by the way. Yeah, and I tell you this, too. If those hamburgers are ruined, I'm not responsible.
Floyd, it was so good to let us show that to the guests that came the rest of the summer after they were gone. And they all enjoyed the house, but then they'd see Floyd in there and, he's good. He should do that more often. You have no idea.
Oh, it was definitely a fun for me, I'll tell you.
There we go. All right, folks. Hey, I hope you guys are enjoying that. That is a little bit of what was going on in the Mayberry Cruise. I tell you, it was an hour long, so we've got another segment that's going to be about the same amount of time. And I just got to tell you, it was a pleasure for me to be able to do a little bit of that with Marcia. These are some pictures right here I'm showing. If you're watching the video, or if you're not, they're not great. But this was me and Marcia on the cruise. We were set up. We had a projector and stuff, so we were able to sit there and show the pictures and actually talk as we did it. And I'm telling you, it was a pleasure for me. And we did it so that I was telling the story about me going there, and then Marcia could give us all the details about how she was able to pull all this together, how they were able to do that, and what the Taylor Home Inn, all the stuff there. And if you look at the pictures or if you watch the video, you can see just the detail that they went to. Now, the next week, we're going to do part two of this wonderful, wonderful presentation that Marcia did. Just fun. I had a great time. I got excited. Couldn't even remember what I was wanting to say, talking about Barney sitting there or Andy sitting there at the table, and that's Barney's seat and all that stuff. But folks, it was such a pleasure. I appreciate Marcia letting me spend that time with her and just help present what she'd done, the stuff there, and the things that she was able to figure out from that painting, just all the things there, the rock in the fireplace, amazing. I know, you know, here I am talking about a rock, but it was just so amazing to see that rock and just see the fireplace. And see the Taylor's house. There it was. So, well, folks, I hope you guys are enjoying that. And I hope you're going to enjoy next week. I know you will. So make sure you come back. I'd love to hear your thoughts. If you've been up there and seen the house, call in. Give us some feedback. We'd love to hear from you. You can call me at 888-684-8415. You can email me at floyd@imayberry.com. You can... let's see, you can go to the Facebook page at facebook.com/twochairs. You can go there, or you can just go to twochairsnowaiting.com and leave your messages there. Well, folks, it's a long episode, 30-something minutes long. I encourage you to go watch the video or go check out the show notes and look at all the pictures because they're going to be on there. So, folks, I hope you've enjoyed it. I know I have. And thank you so much for spending this time with me in Mayberry. And we'll see you next week. On Two Chairs, No Waiting, your Mayberry podcast. See you guys later. Bye.
My little brother's friends have been camped out at our place for 2 days straight.
Three.
It's because of the Xfinity 10G network. Internet that can handle a house full of screens at once with, like, basically no interruptions. And it's only getting faster. When I was their age, internet like this was a pipe dream.
You sound like my grandpa.
Please go home.
Introducing the next generation 10G network, only from Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas.